outside. And all them crazy murderers will never run from inside. You try to keep me down cause you see no joy. All them knows them from, so you call a man a boy. I ain't a tie, can't just see. Open up your eyes.
The thing that makes Judaism dangerous to everybody, to every race, to every nation, to every idea, is that we smash things that aren't true. We don't believe in the boundaries of nation state. We don't believe in the ideas of these individual gods that protect individual groups of people. These are all artificial constructions, and Judaism really teaches us how to see that. In a sense, our detractors have us right in that we are a corrosive force. We're breaking down the false gods of all nations and all people because they're not real.
And here we go, folks. It is Tuesday, February the 3rd, 2026. Year of our Lord Jesus Christ, King of the Gentiles, the Man of Steel. You are listening to today's edition of the Ugly Truth broadcast. Welcome to the program, folks. Hope you're all doing well. Those of you of goodwill, as we say often on this program, don't wish our enemies well, folks. Not when we have enemies who have sworn themselves to our destruction. 3,000 years before any of us ever so much as took our first breath or took our first step. And, you know, there are people out there saying, well, this is just so irrational. Why would there be this group of people, quote unquote, who hate us that much that they, you know, have sworn themselves to our destruction? What did we do? Well, we didn't do anything, folks. Just like Abel didn't do anything in the biblical story. Abel didn't do anything to injure his quote-unquote brother Cain. Cain understood that he was never going to get ahead with his plans if Abel were left alive. And that's why he, according to the story in the Old Testament, if you put any stock in it, he lured his brother out into the fields away from all witnesses, all prying eyes, and bashed his head in with a rock. Well, folks, the reason why we have this group of people who are out to destroy us is not because of anything that we've done. They have been out to destroy us, as I said, before any of us were ever born. They're out to destroy us because of who we are and who we aren't. Okay, as Gentiles, as children of God, as God's chosen people, if ever such a thing existed, folks, this particular group of people whom Jesus Christ himself described as children of their father, the devil, right? Jesus' words, not mine. So naturally, folks, we have this eternal war, this eternal clash of civilizations, if you want to call it that. And again, it's based upon who we are and who we aren't. And as the history of the last century has demonstrated, folks, the more that you cooperate with them, the more that you give them, the worse off you are. The only way that we're going to get through this thing is that we have to fight them tooth and nail, as the saying goes, and it's never going to be over, folks. It will never be over as long as they remain part of this earth. Anyway, I realize that was kind of a heavy introduction to the program today, folks, but we do have a lot of heavy stuff to discuss. Obviously, if you just do a cursory reading of the news stories that are out there right now, it would appear that we are on the precipice of World War III, a new war with Iran, which the Jews insist takes place. But maybe not, folks. Maybe not. If you tuned in today to hear me and my co-host say, okay, we cry, Uncle, we give in, Trump is Netanyahu's slave, he wants to start World War III. If you tuned in today to hear that, folks, you might as well tune out because that's not the discussion we're going to be having. Before we get into that, though, folks, I'm going to introduce a topic here that I've been thinking about since we were last together. And it's this issue of tattoos, okay? Now, it's not going to be the discussion that you think it's going to be, folks, so just hang in there and please be patient. So everybody knows that the trend right now is tattoos. I don't know about the rest of the country, but in a particular part of the world where I live, the latest news figures say that over half of the young people just up here are covered with ink, okay? And that's young people like, I don't know, 25 and younger. And literally, you know, when I'm out and about and I see a young person who isn't covered with some type of tattoo, I'm like shocked. And a couple of times I've actually come up and said to this young person, I want to thank and congratulate you for not being tattooed. It's so nice to see a young person who still celebrates their natural beauty and their individuality by not joining in and physically and permanently, you know, marring their body and making it into something, you know, ugly and unnatural. Anyway, that's not what we're going to be talking about per se, folks, meaning tattoos on the body. What we're going to talk about here for just a moment is this tattooing of the brain. Okay. Now, going back to the regular physical tattooing, I've been reading up on the science of this, on the medical science of it, and it really is a horrible thing, folks. In addition to obviously being physically unattractive, what I consider to be revolting to the eyes, you know, the body, the human body, the immune system never gets over it once this happens. Once that ink is in there, the immune system is constantly trying to get rid of that poison, that this foreign body. And it's never able to do it because the way that our immune systems work is that the white blood cells go in and they'll find this foreign body and they'll eat it and destroy it. Well, they can't destroy the ink, okay? It just stays there forever. And so at least in that part of the body, the immune system is constantly fighting against this ink and it's never able to get rid of it. Well, folks, there are lots of ways of being tattooed. Again, as I said just a moment ago, we have a more serious problem, not just today, folks, but really for the last 2,000 years, with our brains being tattooed, okay? Now, the problems with this tattooing are really only becoming obvious, I would say, within the last century, okay? But the tattoo has been there, as I said, for the last 2,000 years. And this tattoo, what it says is property of Judea. Okay. The brains of the Western people, Western civilization, Christian civilization, by taking in and putting on the same shelf the person and the teachings of murderers and thieves such as Moses and the other Old Testament prophets as they are described in the Old Testament. I understand that there is a distinction that those in the Islamic faith make in that they say that all of these stories of these evil things that these individuals did as they appear in the Old Testament, that this is a forgery and a fraud, and that in the Quran it does not contain any of this. Fine. But for the sake of this argument, folks, and in having an intelligent, rational discussion about what kind of energy is driving this particular group of people in their quest to dominate the planet and to mass murder everybody who gets in their way, the stories of, as I said, the murderers, the thieves, the fraudsters, the pimps, the child molesters, the traffickers, this is what drives these people to behave the way that they do. And we are at this place right now, folks, in history, again, at the precipice of possibly the near extinction of all life on this planet because of the fact that 2,000 years ago, instead of our brains being tattooed with property of Jesus Christ, instead they were tattooed with property of Moses, property of Judea. Can't have both, folks. Has to be one or the other. Now, the reason why we're having this little departure, folks, is because our mission, our goal, our daily thing needs to be to get as much of that ink out of our brains as possible. Meaning, any kind of untruth, any kind of propaganda, no matter how sweet-tasting or sweet-smelling it is, if it contains that ink saying property of Judea, to any degree, you've got to take an eraser to it and you got to get rid of it. Okay? And this includes, unfortunately, folks, a lot of the misinformation and disinformation that is very prevalent out there in what we would call the alternative media. Now, we're going to keep our criticism, at least I will, folks. I can't speak for my counterpart here, Stas, who will be with us here in just a moment. We'll try to keep criticism of the alternative media down to a dull roar, but we would be remiss and we would be deficient in what we're trying to do here if we didn't bring it up, because a lot of these folks, a lot of these people with their webcasts, their podcasts, their websites, and the information that they put out, folks, they're dumping more of that ink into our brains that in the end confuses us and makes us more and more, as I said earlier, property of Judea. We have to, if we entertain any notions, folks, of saving ourselves from this eternal menace that seeks our destruction, we have to get the ink of that disinformation out of our brains. We have to start thinking like Gentiles. We have to take a second look at this person known as Jesus Christ and understand that everything that we see right now about our world, and particularly as his enemies are at the center of all of it, this is exactly what he was trying to prevent. Okay. So, with that in mind, folks, we're going to go ahead and bring up our guest, Stas, and ask him what he thinks about all of this tattooing business. Stas, are you with us?
The tattooing is out of control in America.
I knew you were going to say that. I knew you were going to say that. I knew you were going to say that.
It's disgusting. No, I don't know, but I mean, that's what it is. We are owned by Judea, and now people are complaining about it. A lot of people, but it's going kind of nowhere.
Yeah, or backwards,
Yeah,
they always wind up. Unfortunately, they understand that there's something wrong with our world. It's falling apart, but then they say something that causes things, it just keeps the status quo where it is. It keeps the people, the destroyers, in power, keeps them in place, and one of them, obviously one of these narratives that they unfortunately toss around on a daily basis, and of course, again, I'll have to rely on you to fill in the blanks for me because I don't know what they're saying, but one of those is that, you know, Donald Trump, the president of the United States, is a slave to Judea, and he is out to start World War III in order to make his masters happy. And as I pointed out on the website, folks, you know, if this were true, if Donald Trump really were the slave to Netanyahu and to Miriam Adelson and all of the rest, then why is he doing these things that the Jews don't want? Do we really imagine for a moment that the Jews want Steve Witkoff, Trump's envoy, to go to Israel and to begin pushing for the second phase of the Gaza plan?
and to go to Israel and meet with Netanyahu and to make sure that he understands that there will be repercussions associated with the Israelis attacking an American ship in the Persian Gulf or doing something, you know, engaging in some type of false flag terrorism, okay? If the president were truly the favored one, the chosen one, he would have a really easy life, folks. He wouldn't have to deal with any of the monkey business that he has to deal with on a daily basis, just on a domestic level, okay? So, obviously, the cat's out of the bag, Stas. We're going to be talking about Iran. Right before going to tape, I read a news story saying that American forces have shot down an Iranian drone in the Persian Gulf that the Americans say was behaving in a threatening manner. And it would appear as though, you know, this thing could upend what's supposed to take place this coming Friday, just in a few days, when Steve Witkoff is supposed to be in Turkey meeting with Iran's foreign minister to talk about de-escalating the situation, getting a deal. All of this, of course, folks, that Netanyahu and the terrorist Jews that he has coagulating around him do not want to see happen. So, Stas, let's talk about this for a minute. This drone that's been shot down by American forces. Are we sure that it's the Iranians who sent the drone?
That's not 100% sure.
Okay.
That's not 100% sure. We don't know if it's another party causing trouble.
Now, who would do that, Stas?
It would definitely be the Israelis.
Okay.
Who would love to light the spark that would get this thing going. Their favorite mm-hmm. thing is to get a bunch of Gentiles to kill each other.
Mm-hmm.
As you were saying about the pundits, I'd have to say there's a lot of headlines in your various YouTubes that are like, war with Iran is imminent. And all this stuff, what Trump did, he's a dictator. He's gone into Venezuela. Now he's going to attack Iran. There's just a lot of the people that, shall we say, have enough insulation to take on the state of Israel
mm-hmm.
In the YouTube world have some power. And I'm going to go out on a limb and say basically they're sort of in like a communistic movement or socialistic movement. So they got a little clout. They can actually say stuff against Israel, but they have mm-hmm. that background. So their mind is constantly glued to class consciousness.
Yes, right.
And that
anti-capitalism, anti-imperialism. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So their mind is always, they're critical of Israel, but right behind is the United States is a wholly evil. And they're partners, and you know, they routinely, as we've said time again, you know, reference Jared Kushner and Marian Adelson, that they run the president, and this is no exception. So he's saying the way he talks, I hope we get a deal with Iran. He's open to doing it, and he hasn't done this attack.
Well, so isn't that just an act? Isn't it just an act that the president is doing this, that he really wants to unleash hell upon the Iranian people and to kill millions of them, just like he wanted to 6 months ago during the 12-day war when he tweeted or texted, whatever, told them to evacuate Tehran, okay? Of course, I'm being facetious here, folks, being somewhat satirical, because this is unfortunately the response that prevails out there in what we refer to here on this program as the blabosphere, okay, blah, 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 which is that it's all an act. You know, and my question to that, Stas, and to anyone else out there who's curious, why would the president need to go to such lengths? Okay, and just we'll do a little bit of compare and contrast here, folks. The president is going to be, through his people, he's going to be meeting with the Iranians Friday in Turkey to discuss bringing this whole thing to an end. Okay. Lifting sanctions, bringing peace to the region. Is this what Biden did during his 4 years when the conflict between Russia and Ukraine broke out? No. He cut off all diplomatic discussion, dialogue, debate, diplomacy, everything else with the Russians, did not talk to the Russians for 4 years, okay? But just kept funneling money and weaponry and personnel into Ukraine in order to keep this thing going. Now, that's an example, folks, of a White House occupant that is owned by Netanyahu and owned by the Jews. Biden did exactly what Netanyahu and the Jews wanted him to do with regards to Ukraine. So the president doing this with Iran, holding these talks instead of lobbing missiles and bombs into Iran, this is not what Netanyahu and the rest of these Armageddonists want to see take place. Now, the reason that this is important, folks, as we've said many times, and as Stas started to allude to before he was rudely interrupted by yours truly, is that these kinds of discussions that take place, they matter, okay? As we've said many times here, we will live and die as a nation, as a civilization, based upon whatever conversations are prevailing at any given moment, okay? And if people out there, especially in the alternative media, because, you know, we have a large awakening that is taking place. You know, that is the good news, folks, is that every minute, I don't know what the numbers are, but every minute there are more and more Gentiles who are figuring out that we have a Jewish problem and, who are beginning the process of taking an eraser to that ink on their brains that says property of the Jews. That's a good thing. But how hard would it be to push them back into that territory where they were before if they suddenly are convinced that Trump is just working for the Jews? Well, they might be easily pushed back into that territory where they were before, and that's why it's important that we don't push these people in the wrong direction. Stas, your thoughts?
Very interesting thing to note. We can hear the attempt to order the president to war by Senator Lindsey Graham.
Yep.
And also, I've noticed tremendous pressure on the warmonger Fox News outlet. So they had these newscasters and General Jack Keenan, I think his name is mm-hmm. like a warmonger. He gets on and he's, making an argument that we're the president's making a mistake. He's letting down the Iranian protesters. And for most Americans who know nothing, they think, oh, well, there's these innocent people that hit the street and they want Coca-Cola and they want the hijab off and they want freedom. And that it stops there. There's not mm-hmm. information about huge networks of people causing trouble. There's not information really that there's a substantial component of the Iranian population that wants to remain as it is, and they're mm-hmm. upset that somebody's trying to destroy their country, manipulate their country. So this guy's on and hammering away, we're letting the protest, we should hit them now to assist them. And, people aren't availing themselves. So you do some casual searches. I'm again going back to YouTube. You've got former CIA officer John Kerouac, as we discussed a couple of times, gave us a heads up that the president was under basically blackmail with nuclear weapons. And he does tell the Iranian people to evacuate. So all the, I guess I'm going to call the conspiracy sites or the communists people, the pro-peace people, are just shutting down. And they're like, he wants to go in because this is U.S. imperialism and it's colonialism and they want to do it. And they love it. And they're just lumping Trump in with that.
And in the process of doing that, creating negative political energy that in the end works in whose favor?
Benjamin Netanyahu and State of Israel.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It always goes back to benefiting them. And the American public, after all we've been through here, is not able to make the connection. Go, look, we destroyed Afghanistan for you. We destroyed Syria for you. We destroyed Iraq for you. We've destroyed Lebanon for you. We've harmed Egypt for you. On and on and on. And you still want us to attack these people. And that's what you're dealing with, the American public. I mean, I consider myself not an expert on the Middle East at all, but I just keep to the simple thing. We don't want to engage and we don't want to risk World War III and annihilation. And it's that simple.
Mm-hmm.
And whether it's really outlandish things like that people like to indulge in, like conspiracy or the peace movement, nobody seems to want to get down to basic geopolitics, and preventing
our own demise, going, you know, our lives going up in a flash of bright light.
Yeah, and I've noticed there's a lot of them also, popular like military hardware discussion shows. There's a guy that was a former Thunderbird guy, and he talks about the capabilities, how easily he slips into we got to do a regime change Iran narrative.
Mm-hmm.
Is it fair to say if these guys are popular enough, charismatic enough, that at a certain time they do get a phone call? You know.
Sure. Let's put it this way. You know, and again, going back to what I was saying before, you know, why is it necessary for the president to jump through all these hoops and to quote unquote pretend that he's trying to prevent a war? You know, he doesn't need to do that. Okay, if something today happened, God forbid, a drone or a missile or something like that landed on an American base somewhere in the Middle East or hit a ship, killed a bunch of soldiers, a bunch of sailors, okay? Trump's base, same base that supposedly doesn't want any more wars, they would be breathing down his neck and screaming in his face to launch apocalyptic war against Iran, okay? Now, folks, how do I make that prediction? Because I talk to people. I talk to Trump supporters, okay? And, you know, when you talk to them, they aren't as bothered with the foreign war issue as people might think, okay? It really is down at the bottom of things. Number one is they want more money in their pockets. They want a more stable economic situation. They want the immigration situation dealt with. They want, you know, bathrooms for girls and bathrooms for boys. They want that situation straightened out. But foreign wars, they're not as bothered about it as they should be. So if something happens, God forbid, if Netanyahu and his terrorists manage to hit an American ship in the Persian Gulf or an American base, Trump will be put in a very difficult position to say no to his base of support in launching a huge military attack against the people who will be blamed for this. Now, Stas, there's a very interesting story that I pulled off of the Times of Israel website. I'm going to read some of the particulars of it. The title of it is Iranian Mossad Agent Details His Role in the 12-Day War. Okay? The subtitle, Unnamed Operative Tells Israeli TV That He Led a Team That Used Smuggled Weapons to Carry Out a Preemptive Strike. All right, now listen to this, folks. This is very disturbing. Let's see. I'm going to have to parse it for you, folks. Okay. Ahead of the June assault, Arash, that's the name of the agent, was sent to Iran, where he was the leader of one of the teams that carried out the internal attacks. He and his team were instructed to take a missile and a launcher by car to a specific location. Arash described driving through the streets of Tehran, stopping at a red light, and a police car pulling up alongside him. Quote, if I make a mistake, everything is gone, he recalled, speaking of his fear at that moment, but the squad car drove away. The team was to assemble the weapon and wait for instructions. Arash said, by the way, folks, Arash is a very common name in Iran. I have several friends in Iran, by the way, so he's probably either an Iranian Jew or a member of the MEK or whatever. Okay. Arash said that he was in direct contact with Mossad in Israel at the time. The team did not know what their target was, having only been given coordinates at which to aim the weapon. For 2 hours, the team waited in the dark for the order. Then at 3 a.m., the order came through, and Arash pressed the launch button. The missile was fitted with a camera, he said, enabling him to eventually see the target in the moments before it scored a direct hit. The target, he said, was a ballistic missile ready to be fired at Israel. He told his Mossad handlers, I did the job, to which they immediately responded, yes, you did. Eventually, the team was pulled out of Iran, and Arash was brought to Israel, where he said he had a toast with his handlers. Okay. Now, folks, anybody who thinks that Iran is not just absolutely top to bottom, chock full of spies, just like this guy, highly trained, malcontents, discontents, MEK people, Iranian Jews, whatever, they're still there, folks. They are still there, and they're still sitting on whatever it is that they brought in 10 years ago, whether it's drones, whether it's missiles, and they just sit there and they wait for the order to press the button. They don't even know where this thing is going or what it's going to do. Okay, so we can see here the outline of how Israel plans to get this war started. Okay? She has all of her spies, all of her saboteurs and her assassins in Iran with their drones, their missiles, whatever, including probably ballistic missiles, folks. And they're just waiting there until they get the order to press the button. Now, includes, folks, I hate to say this, but this is reality here. We have to be practical about it. This could even include high-ranking members of Iran's military and intelligence and security apparatus, okay? People who were bought off or blackmailed a long time ago. Say, listen, you know, we need to know how to launch your ballistic missiles. We need to know how to hack into the computer system to get your missiles to launch, okay? And it may be for money. It may be, you know, you either do it or we're gonna, you know, murder your wife and your children. But this is how Israel plans to get this war started. There will be missiles or drones or something like that, perhaps even the drone that was just shot down, folks. It will be missiles or drones being launched from Iran, blamed on Iran, but which Israel will be controlling. And by the way, folks, before I forget it, anybody who thinks that the Jews don't have spies like that in every country in the world, whether it's Iran, whether it's Ireland, whether it's Italy, whether it's Indonesia, whether it's Indiana, okay, the state of Indiana here in the United States, they do. With the same basic situation. They're sitting on a bomb, maybe nuclear, maybe biological, okay? And their job is just to sit there and wait until they get the message to press the button. This is what the President of the United States has to deal with, folks, on a regular basis, knowing that the Jews have gone everywhere with their agents, their spies, their saboteurs, their assassins. And as soon as they get the message, the order, they will press that button. Anyway, Stas, I just laid out what I think is a perfectly reasonable theory as to how Israel plans to get this war started. What do you think? Where are the holes in this theory?
There are no holes in that theory, unfortunately.
I knew you were going to say that. I knew you were
going to. I know. What a good question. No, but I mean, it's very likely. I got two thoughts. One is, let me back up with another Kariakou statement. He actually said, he used the words, I believe the CIA was freaked out about how many assets the Israelis have on the ground in Iran.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, the networks are huge. They are everywhere. And we saw footage of guys shooting at police cars and all.
Yeah.
Just mischief. And, you know, nobody's asked if somebody just wanted to get secular, would they bother to burn down all these churches and mosques there?
Mm-hmm.
Is that what
right.
they're trying to say, that these people would do that? If you're interested in regime change, you would just hit the street to make the supreme leader look bad peacefully. Why would you attack? I think they're beheading police officers there. Who's doing that? Is that just your average Iranian that's displeased about the economic situation? I don't think so. And Kariakou's doing his best to, like, Kariakou, like Tucker Carlson, is trying to do their best to give the correct information and story for people. And it's not easy for these guys because they're buried in so much nonsense around them. And the news is trying to... The regular news and the pundit are just constantly talking about tintillating, salacious weirdness around the Epstein files. And now they've even said something that, you know, that Jeffrey Epstein was working for the Russians. And they even used KGB because they know the Americans are stupid enough to forget that they haven't been the KGB for years.
Right.
That Russia's back to their double eagle status. They are the new Rome. They're not Bolsheviks anymore. There is no more KGB. But they know people are stupid enough to think that Epstein is and plenty of people, and I know a lot of Democrat people that we love in that, because for whatever reason they want to kill the Russians. Everybody's a January 6th person or a Russian to the Democrats, and they want to kill them. And they don't seem to care about Iran too much, except that they're trying to blame it on Trump. And he's clearly trying to stay out of it. Obviously, if he was controlled as much as they're saying, I don't see what would be holding him back.
We would have been at war 5 months ago.
Yeah.
Okay.
He'd be loving it. They'd be making him. They'd give him the Nobel Peace Prize.
Absolutely.
He went to war.
He saved the world. Saved the world from a nuclear Iran. And they would.
Guy's the best. Now he's visibly angry. He's like, oh, the president is making a horrible mistake by not backing the Iranian protesters. You know, and it's
all
like,
right.
I don't know. Sorry. It's so frustrating.
That's right. So, Stas, then why all of the naval assets? Why all of these big, beautiful ships? If the president does not intend to go to war against Iran, why have all of these ships here? And by the way, just for the record, folks, several of them are right off the coast of Israel. Stas, why would he have all of that there?
It's the exact opposite of what people are thinking. In fact, I love all the strength there. Pile it on, because it's keeping the Israeli from destroying Iran and mm-hmm. hurting our boys.
Yeah.
Because our guys would be getting hit by the Iranians and maybe crossfire from Israel, because they don't care. They'll just bomb everything. The case in point, we have a big base and they bombed Qatar. Dangerous and insulting. They did it.
Yeah. Yeah.
That shows how much they care about their American ally, that they would bomb in that area another ally, embarrass the United States, and put our servicemen in danger. But because we're the city on the hill or whatever, nobody is ever suspicious of Israel. It's always somebody else. It's always somebody else. It's the Iranian. And you know, the United States and its propaganda machine have been attacking Iran since I personally was a little boy. they've been demonizing this place. I mean, you know, we're the ones who shot an Iranian airliner. Mm-hmm. If anybody knows anything, we pitted Saddam Hussein against Iraq for an eight-year war.
Mm-hmm.
Eight-year war.
Killed about a million Iranians.
A million Iranians.
Yeah.
And, you know, people have asked me, you know, why, you know, don't you want to, I'll just say it's, why don't you want to waste the Iranian government and free those people? And you know, what do you know? And they tell me, you know, I'm learning more about it, but I don't know all that much about Islam. But I know the secular history, which, if you do that, all knowledge is good, in my opinion, and you know what's been going on and how outrageous it is to attack these people, just like Libya. You know, we demonized them, and they gave up their weapons of mass destruction. No, we still destroy them. But the American public, the most sophisticated propaganda, just these issues don't seem to bother them. You know, is it because the military is so powerful they take care of things?
And it's because what we discussed earlier, having this big black tattoo on their brains that says property of Judea.
Yeah.
This is the problem. Yeah. I mean, the Judaization of the American people is not like anything that really has taken place anywhere else in the world, okay? You know, you go to any other country, any other Western country, and I guarantee, you know, you turn the radio on in the car and you hit the scan button and you start listening, you're not going to run into the kinds of religious talk shows that you'll run into here in America. And all of them, every single stinking one of them, is about how the Jews are God's chosen people, and how Christians are obligated to support Israel. I will bless those who bless thee, curse those who curse thee. Okay, you know, I've been to other places around the world, and this kind of programming simply doesn't exist anywhere except here.
Yes. Have you been to a thing where you've given, I'll say, secular arguments for why it is bad business to attack these places, and people kind of agree, and they come back and they go, yeah, but I don't know, Israel's in the Bible. You know, they say stuff like that.
Yeah. I hear it all the time.
And I plead
in the Bible.
I go, look, at least, you know, if anything, feel sorry for somebody else's sons and daughters that can get blown away on this. But this is selfish again. Why don't you look at your own wallet? They say every household in the United States has shoveled over, this is just the Ukraine war, 3,000.
3,000, yeah.
Yeah, to that. And then what is this going to cost? And how much more broke is everybody going to get? How many more potholes?
If it doesn't end up with nuclear weapons being exchanged.
Which nobody seems to be worried about.
No, they're not.
In the entire country.
Yep. They're not.
And you know, and then what are and there is movements among the Chinese and Russian military regarding this. Before I forget, I wanted to say I'm just hoping that whatever they did for countermeasures when Hexet called a meeting face to face, as far as I know, the only place that people have talked about this is the entire echelon of the rulership, the leadership of the American military, not just the Army, but all the services had to meet face to face. Nobody but this podcast and your website has brought up the fact that's because the American military and intelligence services are completely compromised, so they got to meet old-fashioned way face to face. It is the only it's the only reason why they would have had that. They never would have wasted the money and the trouble to bother all those guys to meet
the risk and the risk
because they could get blown up or whatever. And it's and so I hope they were able to debug enough to handle whatever the secret code name for this operation, the real name of this operation is
exactly
operation
right now
war.
Yes, exactly. That's yeah. Thank you.
Military.
Thank you for putting the piece of that puzzle in, Stas, because I hadn't even thought about it. But you're exactly right. This was probably what is taking place right now. Was the reason for, because remember, the bulk of the commanders who were brought in were naval commanders, and the bulk of them were those who were in CENTCOM. And I think the Sixth Fleet, who would be taking care of the Far East. But the bulk of these commanders, if my memory serves me correctly, were the guys who will be in charge of things right now in the Persian Gulf and off the coast of Israel and the Mediterranean. So they had to be brought in face to face for exactly what we're witnessing right now. Now, folks, in the event that you're not getting it, what we're saying here, is that the president, I'm sure, understands that the Israeli spies that are still in Iran, that they will be tasked with hitting an American ship or hitting an American base. And it may be substantial, folks. It may be, you know, hitting an aircraft carrier, sinking an aircraft carrier with 5,000 servicemen on board. Okay. Something that would tie the president's hands, that would force him into a corner where he would have little to no choice than to initiate heavy military actions against the country that was blamed for it. Now, those of you out there will say, well, you know, who's going to force him? Well, folks, if something horrible happens, God forbid, an aircraft carrier is hit, and the president doesn't react with military force, that slim margin that he has in Congress of support, they will all be, you know, think back, folks, to Netanyahu giving the speech in Congress where he got 60 standing ovations from both houses, both sides, okay? By the same token, folks, both sides will be calling for Trump's impeachment and removal if he does not engage in military action against the country that's blamed for it. They will be after his head. He would have little to no choice than to give in to Netanyahu's demands for war. Stas, your thoughts?
I think literally the difference between annihilation of the entire earth and survival is how good the countermeasures are. These NSA guys, how can they, if they can protect communications of U.S. military assets, that will be the judge. I'm strangely, although it's dangerous now and I'm disappointed every day, I have some rays of hope that Trump and his guys are playing this deeper game pretty well, even though the odds are stacked against them. For instance, I've lately been thinking they knew that they were compromised on the Signal app, and that they deliberately went in and they did entice the Atlantic magazine guy that's clearly an enemy of Trump. I think also, as wacky as it sounds, what they've done, what had to be done, there is some positive things coming out from the very wacky, convoluted document drop of the Epstein files. They are...
Yes, the most recent one, the most recent
yeah,
one.
Yeah, they are. They're burning... I mean, they got Bill Gates. They got him.
The Clintons, yep.
They got the Clintons, and...
nothing on Trump. Nothing on Trump.
And nothing on Trump, and it is diffusing. And... So it is causing trouble for them. As much as they're doing this stuff, blame it on the Russians, I think that the world and the people are seeing it. I do think the Iranian people are really sharp. I do think we've got a pretty good back channel to them. I do think that Supreme Leader knows that Donald Trump doesn't want to go at them, and they're doing their best to put on a good show for the neocons. Thus, you see, and they know it. They know it too. Thus, you see this warmonger guy, Keenan, going, "How, you know, come on, Mr. President, how dare you let these good people of Iran die in the streets alone? Hit them." Well, translate that back to the American public. Do you really want to get involved and bomb people? You know, does it ever help anybody? You know, when they do these things, when they go, this country is beheading people. We've never helped anybody. It never works. And, you know, the only thing that's work is staying out. And that's what, you know, we've got to consider the fact that Donald J. Trump knew that they were moving on the on continuing the attacks on foreign lands, and that there was no end to it, and that he got into this. There can be an argument made that, you know, they're like, Trump's a narcissist, he is evil, that's why he wants to be president. You can make just a strong argument that it's crazy for him to go up there and to be president, to get shot at.
Absolutely.
Half the country wants to kill the guy. He was a billionaire. He had an excellent lifestyle. He could have cut it off when he became president one time for the books and just write these books about how he was the best president, go on talk shows and just enjoy it. So what did he and the people behind him know that and I would put forward that they knew that the Israelis would drive us into so many wars that it would collapse not only the United States but the entire earth into endless wars that they want, because it's not stopping. And they've set it up, this technological giant, to where they literally only need a certain percent of the population. If they can control everybody else like sheep, they can continue to use America as a batting ram against all their enemies. I don't want to sound like an idiot here. There's part of me that believes that it's possible that the British and the Israelis and the Americans and the Europeans on behalf, acting as golems, could actually succeed in what they want. Meaning, destroy the rest of the Middle East and actually, yes, take Russia and China down. I know I sound crazy like this. I think it is possible because they've been preparing for so long for this. That is why they went so hysterical when they saw that Trump was interested in running. That even before he was running, they started to cook up this Russian agent thing in 2015, even as soon as he looked to do it, and why they went crazy when he got in office, because they know they've seen him pull off some amazing negotiating deals in New York City, probably the worst city in the world for that kind of thing. Very worried that he could be the person that could ruin the plan to take the entire thing down. And those who have studied, this is where alternative history comes in handy. You know, you see that they thought they could do it under Napoleon. They thought, and they tried to do it. They might have succeeded with England if they were the true people behind the scenes. I believe they are. Now they want it again, and that's why they're so hysterical. They know that he doesn't want it. That's not good for America, because once they are complete, whatever they want to do, then of course they'll enslave and destroy the American people after they're done. Yeah, I mean, and of course, there's no guarantee that they can pull off this thing. We just go down in flames trying to destroy all these places. But part of me thinks they've got a long-standing plan to use.
Meaning, who is they in this?
It's absolutely the state of Israel. Israel, Judea Incorporated, like you used to talk about it. And you know, and people are they're going with the colonialist thing or whatever. No, the real fight in the world now is between Benjamin Netanyahu and Donald Trump. The entire earth is an absolute underground secret war going between him and the forces of Trump and Netanyahu. And there's leverage every day. Today they've got a story that something's bad on X, Elon Musk thing, so they're after him. It's a leverage war back and forth. It's never ending. Very few people seem to hang in with the president, except for the kind of supporters of Donald Trump that we really don't want to support. The ones that don't care. The Donald Trump supporters who want, who are lusting to see Iran on fire, shocking up all the buildings exploding. They think that they are evil, and that Islam is evil, and Iran is evil. And you know, there's a fair amount of Trump supporters that want that or want to manipulate his
the Bubba Brigade. Bubba Brigade.
Yeah, that's huge. Like this stupid general that's on, he's constantly, he said stuff like we need to see more Russian bodies. Now he's pressuring Trump to attack the Iranian people. And if anybody looking at it, he's like, why would a guy even say, I hope they make a deal, they want to make a deal? And worse than that, the Fox Pro War people, they sometimes are floating that idea that, you know, oh, we didn't go far enough with the bombings of the nuclear power plants, that right now the Iranian people could be enriching and we didn't go far enough. It's just constantly. And, you know, if God forbid it ever happened and they destroy Iran, immediately, in 24 hours, they'll ratchet up. Now, Moscow, we got to do the same thing.
No, they're already ratcheting up. I'm looking at a story right here on the most pro-Netanyahu website in Israel, talking about Turkey being the next Iran, nuclear threat in the Middle East and how we have to deal with them now. Yeah. Now, listen, Stas, real quick, on the issue of leveraging, you know, you're saying that there's this this sometimes loud, sometimes quiet, back-and-forth leverage war taking place between the president and Netanyahu. Interestingly enough, folks, just today, and again, this is appearing on the most pro-Israel, no, I'm sorry, the most pro-Netanyahu website in Israel. It's called Israel Hayom. This was owned by Sheldon Adelson. Remember him, folks? The husband of Miriam Adelson that never gets any mention on, on the alternative media. Just within the last hour or so, this news story popped up. And by the way, folks, when it comes to these Israeli websites, they don't run stories unless the stories involve Israel or the Jews. Okay, if you become a regular reader of these stories, you'll understand that this is, you know, the only reason that they would run any stories about anything happening in Timbuktu or in Antarctica is if a Jew stubbed his toe somewhere down there, and you know, they're holding investigations to see whether or not the rock that he stubbed his toe on was anti-Semitic. Okay, So, on the Israel Hayom website, just within the last couple of hours, news story reads as follows: could the long-lost film prove a second shooter in the JFK assassination? Okay, so a lawsuit has been filed in the U.S., doesn't say when, but it's from the granddaughter of the man who took this other video footage of the president being killed. The government confiscated it, and they have never let it out. But just about a week or so ago, no, I'm sorry, January 15th, federal judge issued a discovery order requiring the U.S. government to provide information about the fate of the privately owned black and white 8mm film shot by Orville Nix, an air conditioning technician from Dallas. Now, here's where things are interesting, folks. Nix's granddaughter filed a lawsuit against federal government demanding the return of the film, war compensation estimated at more than $900 million. The film, which has been in government custody since 1992 under the JFK Records Act, is said to be the only known footage that captured the small grassy knoll near Dealey Plaza. This is the location from which many believe additional shots were fired beyond those attributed to Lee Harvey Oswald. Okay, so, folks, the reason why it's important that this story is coming out now, today, when Steve Witkoff is meeting with Netanyahu and telling him, you know, the way that it is, that, look, the president's not going to fulfill your dreams of destroying Iran. We're going to get a deal with these people. We're going to bring peace to the Middle East. We're moving on to phase two in Gaza. Syria is going to be rebuilt and repaired. And basically, you're going to be put behind a cage, you, the Israeli people. You're not getting any more. Forget about all of this greater Israel business. And this news story coming out today, folks, at the very moment that Steve Witkoff is in Israel meeting with Netanyahu and laying down the law, this is not an accident, folks. Okay, this is the president and his people pushing back against Netanyahu. And this is how governments and intelligence agencies communicate with each other, folks. They don't have to send very detailed messages back and forth. They speak in this very nuanced dialect of what we refer to here as gangsterese. And so this is President Trump communicating with Netanyahu, saying, hey, listen, you know, the American people would really be interested to find out more about this business involving your government murdering our president. That's one of the things that that I will be using in getting my way with you in preventing World War III. Stas, your thoughts?
An absolute example of this worldwide war of leverage going on everywhere. I mean, things are happening. Any country is fair game. You know, the fires in Argentina, that's weird.
Mm-hmm.
That one. The whole Venezuelan thing, you know, to the greater world, it was the bullying of the United States colonialist on them. If you were a little savvy and you knew about the war between Israel and America, or and also a personal war between two men, a chess game between Trump and Netanyahu, then you would know that Trump basically probably saved Maduro's life.
Mm-hmm.
Getting between him and the Mossad, who wanted to make sure that their slave, America, wouldn't back out of obliterating Iran, that would try to rush them to destroy Iran so Iran couldn't affect the oil supply, the oil prices.
Right, right. You know? Let's go down that road for just a moment, Stas. Folks, what Stas is talking about here is a conversation that he and I had just yesterday, where I, much to my disappointment, you know, I arrived at this thought, you know, obviously weeks too late, but, you know, the other angle that we have to consider with this business of Venezuela and the president saying openly, without any ambiguity, we're taking the oil for ourselves, okay? He may have done this, folks, because, first of all, you know, this has been the argument that the Jews have used for the last century in forcing the Americans to be engaged in the Middle East, which is, you know, the free supply of cheap oil, blah, blah, blah. That's why Israel has to be there to act as the quote-unquote aircraft carrier in the Middle East for American interests. So with Trump taking that Venezuelan oil, as he said, he is saying, look, we don't need the oil from the Middle East. We've got all the oil we need. It's just, you know, it's very close. It's in our hemisphere. And not only that, folks, but something troubling that we have to also consider, it may very well be, that the president did this because his people have told him, look, we're not going to be able to keep the war genie in the bottle. The Jews are going to blow the place up. The shock is going to cause, you know, the disruption in oil is going to cause meltdown all over in the global markets, especially Europe. And so in order to insulate and protect the United States from these shockwaves, where possibly, you know, the oil would be the thing used to kill us, that he decided to take the oil from Venezuela so that we will not be hit as hard when the Middle East blows up as a result of Netanyahu giving the go orders for World War III. Stas, your thoughts?
It's fascinating how there's really nothing that separates other places from the problems of the Holy Land.
Mm-hmm.
You can if there's war or someplace, it's usually if you do the digging, you'll find that something has displeased the state of Israel.
Yep.
Every time they try to ratchet up, even if it's places that don't make sense, and on the domestic front, why the push to attack the American government in Minnesota? Why all of a sudden does Israel go out of its way to recognize Somaliland?
Mm-hmm.
Why are they causing so much emotional trouble, basically taunting the Americans, going, you've just been ripped off for billions. Is Trump mm-hmm. going to do something about it? And all these people trained to harass the immigration and security forces of the United States, making us get a taste of what it's like in Iran. They're manipulating, and they got thousands of people on the ground. And of course, with all these people harassing them, there's fatalities, and it's all to put leverage pressure on President Trump. Before I forget, as you pointed out to me also, not only the fleet is there to prevent Israel from attacking, they've even got warship docked in Israel.
Right off the coast of Israel. Yep, at least two of them.
Keep
at least two of them.
And your enemies closer, as you have taught
mm-hmm.
us.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a worldwide mafia war, and everybody's got it backwards. I'm thinking now that they'd try hard to conceal it. But there's an interesting story how they're accusing the leader of ICE of an anti-Semitic comments.
Yeah. Right.
And also, as you pointed out to me, that Trump himself gave the middle finger to a guy after him. These mm-hmm. are the tensions that the people who are closer to the fight are having in a fight with Judea. The guy, the ICE guy, he's tired of it. He's tired mm-hmm. of having liberal ladies throw rocks at his head. He knows who's really behind it. He knows
mm-hmm.
everybody in America is broke. How do they get money to go out all day to harass the ICE? It's coming from somewhere. And it's not
mm-hmm.
coming from the people of Portugal, shall we say.
Mm-hmm.
It's not coming from Portuguese spy services. So these guys got to know.
Stav, I think you're a little naive about that. I think the Portuguese are really running the whole thing. I'm sorry. I had to do it. Because you know the Portuguese, they're closer to the Vatican geographically than Jerusalem is, and we know that the Vatican and the Jesuits and the Black Pope control everything.
They do, the Black Pope, and you forgot the Pink Pope is even higher than the Black Pope. I heard.
I don't know about any Pink Pope.
No, it's something.
I don't know
serious.
About it.
It's some serious stuff. It's just like people are just dying to gravitate to that type of thing, and they can't focus on what really is, and that's a problem.
It is. As much as we're joking about it, it's a dangerous problem. That's why we say, folks, conversations matter. So make sure that your conversations make sense, because you don't know what your words, what effect they will have, when it comes to people pouring out into the streets or contacting their members of Congress saying, I want you to impeach him because he won't go to war against Iran after Iran sunk one of our aircraft carriers. He should be impeached. And, folks, this is why I say we have to be very careful. Stas, we are at the end of our program here. Tell the folks what you think they need to hear before we close out.
Instead of trying to blame every problem on President Donald J. Trump, try to look at what the source really is. These events are moving fast. Incredibly, it was looking like the Epstein files were the end. Now we've moved on to other problems. And the situation is fluid and getting more complex.
Friday, Witkoff meets with the Iranians in Turkey, okay? And if the Americans get a deal, then the Jews don't get their war. So this is what we're saying, folks, is that, you know, the next 72 hours are critical, okay? The last time, you know, the war, folks, just very quickly, and I'm sorry to have interrupted you again, Stas, but the 12-day war back in June, folks, the president just about had the Iranians where he needed them to be in order to negotiate this deal. And the Jews were the ones who blew all of that up by launching the attack against Iran. So why wouldn't they do it again? I'm just going to read one quick paragraph, Stas, from another article off of Israel Hayom. It says, this marks the third time since Donald Trump returned to the White House that he has sought to reach an agreement with Iran. The two previous attempts ended in military action, meaning the Jews engaged in military action. But this time, U.S. officials are insisting that, quote, the diplomatic effort is genuine and real, unquote. A U.S. official told Axios, quote, it's the Israelis who are the ones pushing for the military strike. So, folks, as we said, I think it was on the last program, all of the news stories that we saw a few weeks ago, how Benjamin Netanyahu was supposedly telling President Trump he didn't want to strike on Iran because Israel was going to be hit. That was a lie, folks. It was a lie. It's the Jews pushing this. It's always them pushing war. And the next 72 hours, as we said, folks, the next 72 hours are critical and crucial because we have a cornered animal here. And not just any animal, folks, the most dangerous life form ever to have breathed free air on God's green earth. Stas, you were fantastic as usual. You are a friend of humanity, a credit to the human race. Hang on there for just a moment. I'm going to close out, but I want to talk to you all here.
Thanks.
Okay, folks, that was the irreplaceable Stas. Once again, a conversation that you are sadly, not likely to hear in too many other places on the internet, folks. I say that in all honesty, folks, sadly. I wish more people were having conversations like this. It's not a comfortable place for us to be really the only locale on the planet where these kinds of comments. And if we're wrong, folks, fine. Tell us where we're wrong. Okay, but don't send us pictures of Donald Trump, you know, standing next to Jeffrey Epstein 20 years ago, or Donald Trump with the black beanie on his head at the railing wall, blah, blah, blah. Okay, it's more complicated, complex, and convoluted than that. Okay, it does. It's not an easy workout. And, you know, anybody who tells you that, you know, that you're going to be able to figure this out in just a couple of minutes by listening to a few podcasts or whatever. No, folks, it is much more complicated than that. And all of our lives hang in the balance. Okay. And in the end, folks, it may not even matter. Maybe this whole thing, there's so much inertia behind it that not even the president with all of his intelligence and his good intentions will be able to prevent what is headed our way. Personally, I think that to some degree, that is the situation that we're facing, that we're not going to get through this with all of our skin intact. But then again, folks, as we say often, miracles do happen, the USS Liberty being one of them. We were just 180 seconds away from nuclear war back then, folks, and it was because of the efforts of a few brave men aboard that ship, kept the ship from sinking, robbed the Jews. I hate to use that past participle, folks, but the Jews were robbed of the victory they needed, meaning the ship sinking, in order to get World War III started. And so miracles do happen, folks, if we just do the right thing. Anyway, that's it for today, folks. This Tuesday, February 3rd, 2026 edition of The Ugly Truth broadcast. We thank you for your time. And that's it, folks. Hope and pray for a miracle.